the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this podcast, I wanted to talk to you about serviced apartments. So going back about maybe 10, 12 years ago, something like that, we actually did serviced apartments in Leeds City Centre. In fact, if you typed short-term lets Leeds or serviced apartments Leeds or anything like that, we pretty much owned the whole of the front page of Google. We did a lot of search engine optimization in those days at my lettings agency that I owned, which we've sold since then. But we basically owned the front page of Google. So whenever you clicked on one of those links, it would have been one of our websites or our main website. We did an awful lot of serviced apartments in Leeds City Centre, and it can be very, very lucrative. And so what happened was we sold the lettings agency, and then I made a commercial decision not to do serviced apartments anymore. And then obviously Airbnb comes into the situation, and serviced apartments and short-term lets is all the rage right now. And obviously there's a lot of people teaching how to do serviced apartments, because what's basically happened is we've found a loophole, we've found an opportunity to make a lot of money, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times more rental income than you get on just a normal let. So as an example, you know, you could take a one-bed studio that you might get 400, 450 for, and you get that for maybe, you know, 50 quid a night. So times that by 30, it's £1,500 coming in. So there's a, you know, big difference. So some people have actually built their businesses up around this. And just let me just say this straight off the cuff, right at the start of this podcast, because I think it's really important. There are a number of strategies in property that are based on the short term that are basically designed to get you into the game. And I just want you to understand what these are. Now, this is my opinion, and I'm sure the people who do serviced apartments will completely disagree. Serviced apartments are here forever, and I'm going to explain why they're not. But maybe that's what they think, and that's fine. But the reason why I think this is such a short-term entry into property, and it's not just serviced apartments, by the way, but the whole rent-to-rent thing is just a methodology of getting you into the game. It's not the end game. Because what happens in 5 years' time when the rent-to-rent contract finishes? What happens on a lease option when the property hasn't gone up in price, which it may or may not do, we don't know. Or what happens when something happens to you and you can no longer buy that property at that price, for whatever reason? So you've not got the property. Now, by the way, you know, even if you're a buy-to-let investor and you've got a mortgage on the property and you're just doing normal buy-to-let stuff, that's still no guarantee that in 10 years' time you're going to have that. You know, look at what happened with Mortgage Express, and, you know, some of those landlords have been asked for their loans called in. And what happens if there's a property dip and the rent, you know, doesn't cover the mortgage enough? Or what if it's an interest rate rise and so the mortgage is more than the rent? So there's lots of reasons why it can be short term. But if you're thinking that serviced apartments off a property that you don't own, that you're renting off somebody else, is the long-term key to your wealth, I think you'll be mistaken. And now look, don't get me wrong, serviced apartments on rent to rent, so this is where you basically rent somebody else's house, you don't own it, you're renting it out, and then you're subletting it effectively. That can work. That can generate a lot of income, like the example I gave on studio, a great opportunity to earn some money, and I've got a couple of friends that are doing that right now. They're making some good money. They get to travel all around the world while they're a couple of properties that they've got and rent out, that's generating them a lot of cash. Now, why is it short term? So something's happened just recently in London. And so basically in the London suburbs now, there's a real concern that a lot of people are using properties for Airbnb only. And so therefore, it's removing these properties, firstly, out of the rentals market. And obviously, tenants are climbing over each other in order to get the properties, because there's just not enough right now. That's the first thing. And then the second part is that they have also taken the properties out of circulation for people to buy. And so this is one of the reasons why a lot of this new legislation has come in for not just serviced apartments, but normal rent to rent, you know, normal buy to let. You've got like stamp duty 3%, you've got removal of interest rate relief, you've got removal of wear and tear. Those three things on their own will stop people, first of all, buying property, and second of all, keeping property, because it's no longer financially viable for some of them. I mean, you know, we've got rents going up, by the way, which is a separate podcast, but We've just put some rents up again. One of them's gone up from 400 to 550. Yeah, that's a 25% increase. More than a 25% increase, I should say. One of them has gone up from 650 to 695. It was rented to the first tenant, and he's literally moving in the day after the other tenant moves out, and they're handing the keys over to each other. I mean, it's just amazing. Because tenants are climbing all over each other. And we put that price up to 695 thinking, let's just test it and see what happens. We've got a little bit of time. Let's just see what happens. And it went immediately. So rents are definitely shooting up. So we've got this perfect storm coming of all these rent increases going up. And obviously rentals, people who rent, that takes a property out of the circulation for first time buyers. And it all forms part of that chain. And so when the government is trying to make more homes available for people to buy, let's not build more homes. No, because that would be too obvious. Effectively, what we're doing is we're chopping off the bottom of the blanket and sewing it to the top of the blanket just to try and create more homes. But, you know, for every property that's taken from a rental or a property or a tenant, that means where's that tenant going to live? So if that home goes back to being for a mortgage owner, you know, a first-time buyer or a second-time buyer, where does a tenant go? Well, the tenant has to go into the next property. And if there's not enough properties out there, then rents are going to shoot up, you see. So look, what I wanted to get over to you in this podcast is that serviced apartments are great. Awesome for short-term income. Long-term longevity, we don't know what's going to happen there. Because new legislation may come in, and it already has done in London. They are now limited to just 90 days a year. So if you've got a flat and you're thinking, I'm just going to rent this flat out on Airbnb and I'm in London, you can't do it. Now, policing of this is a completely different matter. So it's like the Data Protection Act, you know. You're supposed to sign up for the Data Protection Act if you run a business. Nobody polices that, at least not that I'm aware of. I'm not going to say what I was going to say, but for a number of years in my lettings agency, I think I've just said it. Anyway, you can guess, right? No one checked it. And the only reason we did sign up was because we had to become members of the estate agency ombudsman. It was a new piece of legislation that came in, so it's the only reason we signed up. No one ever checked. I mean, we treated data obviously as carefully as anybody else would because it's personal private data. But anyway, so I have no idea how they are going to police this. Maybe Airbnb will have a section where if you're in London, but they will have to enforce that legally. And of course, your private data is private as well. And the councils haven't got access to that. And they shouldn't have access to that because it's got nothing to do with them. And if they want to enforce the law, then they need to go to court to get a court order to look at your data. So I don't know how that's going to be policed. But this is the key to long-term success in property, is that you want to continue making a success in property regardless of what happens in the marketplace. So when mortgage interest rate relief is being removed, is that going to make a difference in my business? Well, yeah, obviously. But the marketplace is going to adapt to take on the fact that rents are going to have to increase. And if you look at what's happening, I mean, we've got Brexit, and so we've got, you know, 10, 15, 20% drop in currency for the UK pound. And so what that means is that our imports are much more expensive by 10, 15 or 20%. And forget inflation, we've not even got to inflation yet. That's just a currency exchange rate. Oil, which is done in dollars generally, is being affected. Raw materials that comes in from Europe, that's going to be affected as well. So naturally, you've got 10 to 15 to 20% inflation just because of changing currency. Now, technically, I don't even think that's classed as inflation. But, you know, if your prices are going up 10, 15%, then obviously it's inflation. And then on top of that, you're going to have wage inflation as well. And, you know, the government has this little basket of inflationary goods. Mortgage rates aren't included on that. I don't think rents are included on that. So, you know, if you look at average rent increases between 5 and 10% this year, a rent as a percentage of your take-home pay in London, it's huge. It's like 60, 70, 80% sometimes of your take-home pay goes towards rent. Well, that's a pretty big amount. But let's not include that in our little basket of shopping goods. Let's include toothpaste at £2, and it's now £2.30 because it's gone up 15%. Or it's gone up, let's say, to £2.10, it's gone up 5%. Oh, well, inflation's at 5% in that case. Yeah, but hang on a minute, you're not taking rents into account. They're going up 10, 15%. Oh, no, well, we don't take those into account. Yeah, but in real terms, if rents are going up 10 or 15% per year, surely that's your inflation if, as a percentage of your take-home pay, rents are 60, 70, 80%, not your £2 toothpaste. Do you see how this works? You see how the government pulls the wool over everybody's eyes? That's crazy. It's mental. So you've got to start to understand, and I have massive arguments with people about becoming financially literate. People don't understand how any of this stuff works. You've got to start becoming financially literate. So, like, I'm up to about a book a week at the moment, so maybe slightly less than that, but I'm trying to get through as much content as I can, trying to continually be educated, both financially, both in property, both on marketing, in business, in psychology, in mindset, my health, I'm continually trying to improve upon. And so you've got to get this to this level where you're starting to understand, you can start to read the markets a little bit more, so that you are proactive rather than reactionary. Because if in your area, let's say you run service departments on rent-to-rent in Birmingham, and anything in a B1 postcode has the same 90-day limits, that's your business finished. What are you going to do? You just rent in this £500 a month property. What are you going to do with that? You've got another 6 months on the tenancy agreement, a 12-month contract, and you can only rent it out at market value. What are you going to do? So the key is to be able to work out what's happening and when, and look at not just what the opportunities are, but what's going to change in the marketplace. What do I not know? What am I not seeing on this deal? What is about to come and bite me on the ass? Now, just because something is coming to bite you on the ass doesn't mean that you're going to get bit on the ass. It's just that now you can see it coming to bite you on the ass. It's not necessarily going to bite you on the ass. Does that make sense? So, but you've got to be able to be proactive about this stuff. If you're reactionary, it's bitten you on the ass and then you have to deal with it. Being proactive, you can see it's about to bite you on the ass and you can do something different. So you've got to start looking at serviced accommodation and seeing it for what it really is. In my opinion, it's a short-term opening gambit into getting your foot in the game of property. It's not the long-term. In 20 years' time, the whole rules on Airbnb will have completely changed. Completely changed. Like, will the rules have completely changed in buy-to-let? Well, I've been in buy-to-let, say, 18 years, and the rules have definitely changed. If you look at, you know, some mortgage companies now need 145% of your rental income to cover the mortgage. Well, it used to be 125% in the olden days. And of course, in the olden days, we were getting 15% deposits, not 25% deposits. And then also, we were able to offset mortgage interest rate relief, which, going from 2017 onwards, we're not able to do that. And just one little thing I wanted to finish up on with this is that we've actually started, you know, we're in December now when we're recording this, and we're a little bit late on sorting out rent increases. And so we have sent out a number of letters saying that we're going to increase your rent, and it's going up a significant amount. You know, it's going up between 5 and 25%, depending on the property. We got one client who's leaving, has been in a property for 3 years at 395, city centre studio flat. We'll get 550 for that now, so that's the price that we're going to put it out at. But because he was there, we were happy to leave at that rent rate. We tend not to increase rents when tenants are there. That's all changing. We are now looking at what rents need to increase for our longer-term tenants. So they're still below market value, effectively, but the more than they were paying, so that we can plan ahead. And the reason why we need to do this is because of these tax changes that are coming in. Massive tax changes that are going to push rents up anyway, so it means we're able to do that, and that will offset our increasing costs. So look, I know it's pretty controversial saying that service departments are like a short-term route to property, but that's my belief system happening right there. I might be correct, I might not be correct. I've been correct on a lot of things, and I've been incorrect on a lot of things in my life as well. And I fully expect to be incorrect on a lot more things too. And so maybe this is one of them. But I personally don't think so. I actually think I'm fairly correct on this. I think short-term lets is a great opportunity to get your foot in the game, to generate some cash, maybe to get you out of work. And then once you've done that, you've got to start either property sourcing to start building up deposits, and you've got to start getting access to your own deals. All right, I hope that's useful for you. Good controversial one there. My name's Dan Latter, and we'll speak to you on the next one. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.